and we hope to make your time here an enjoyable one.
We will sing the first verse of our national anthem. It is a good national anthem. There are a number of verses. This is just the first, and it speaks of our trust in God, and so we'll stand and sing these words together. After the service, we will have supper. For those of you who need that to be translated, that means refreshments. So please feel free to stay behind and have a cup of tea or coffee with us. It's my privilege now to welcome Reverend John Gorris, who will be known to many of you. And so, John, thank you for leading us this evening.
Greetings, people of God. We are privileged to serve the Lord this evening in our prayer service. And we have a gathering here from many different lands and nations, many who will come and bring their praise to God together with us. I'm reminded of these words as I call you to worship. Revelation chapter 5. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. We are called to worship. Let us bow in God's presence to prepare our hearts to worship Him. Let's do so in a time of personal and silent prayer. so our gracious God, we have gathered in your presence, and we ask you to bless us and enable us to bring honor to your great name. For we ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we all stand? People of God, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We shall sing God's praise. Not to us, nor our churches, nor ourselves in any way, but to him, to his name be praised. And let's sing of that Psalm 115, the words of 226 in your hymn books. 226. Thank you. Do please standing. Remain standing. We want to confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you would like to look it up, it's in the rear of your Psalter hymnals on page 3. Page 3 in the rear of your Psalter hymnals. And we shall confess together with the church of all places and all ages in these words: I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We shall pray to God for his blessing on the reading and the preaching from his word. Let us pray. O gracious and merciful God, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that you have spoken, and that you have spoken most clearly in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in him in particular that we have met you, our only and true God. And so we turn to you this evening to ask for your enabling, not only to listen, but also to speak from your word that which you want us to hear. Yes, Lord, for that reason we would pray, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things in your law. Things that are above our minds and above our thoughts, but things that you do reveal to us through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that he may be so active in our midst that our hearts and minds may be open to your truth, and we may also respond to it. So we ask for your enabling. We utterly depend on you. Hear our prayer as we bring it to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading this evening will be taken by Reverend Paul Baer from Korea, and he will read to us from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 17. Brother Baer, would you like to read from there? Thank you.
I read Isaiah chapter 40, verse from 1 to 17. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hands marked off heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in the basket, or weighed the mountains on the scale, and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who has it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for old fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. Amen.
How wonderful these words must have been in the ears of the people when they first heard these words. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, my people. And how wonderful it is and has been for the people of God throughout the centuries to speak of, to listen to, and to sing of that comfort of this amazing God, as Isaiah describes him in the next part of that chapter. Let us also join in singing those words, turning to our hymn book number 406. 406. Comfort, comfort, ye my people, speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Let us stand and sing the three verses.
Comfort ye.
Mourning in their sorrows, Lord, sing ye to the rose.
I would like to invite Reverend Dirk van Garderen to read the next scripture portion for us and deliver the message from God's Word.
Good evening. Well, tonight, I'd like you to turn for our second scripture reading. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5, from which passage I'm going to read the first 16 verses. This is the opening passage of the Sermon on the Mount, usually subtitled, of course, the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 1. Now when he, that is Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word. I was asked to select the message for tonight, and I've chosen as a text the fourth verse, or the second beatitude of Matthew chapter 5. Familiar words: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Brethren and sisters, I suspect that nothing is further from your mind than having come to this uttermost end of the earth, this most beautiful of beautiful countries, and be challenged in an introductory message to mourn, to grieve, or gnash your teeth. Surely we came here for different reasons. Didn't we gather together to rejoice, to give thanks, and to build up? Don't we meet together in order to get to know, to learn, to understand, to trust, and yes, to love one another? Aren't we here to create, to strengthen and deepen relationships with each other as we represent churches that share the same confessional heritage and values. Aren't we here to find ways and means of doing the Lord's bidding as confessional Presbyterian and Reformed churches, to focus on the Great Commission to work in our work at home, abroad, both in missional and diaconal contexts? Oh yes, and aren't we here perhaps to check one another out? And if necessary, in truth and love, of course, to admonish each other with respect to maintaining our confessional integrity and commitment. We are here for the praise of God's glorious name, the advancement of the kingship and the kingdom of our God. In a nutshell, haven't we come here in Jesus' name and for God's sake, for the King and for his kingdom? Therefore, the question is real. Should we start a conference like this with a reminder that only those who mourn are blessed and will be comforted? True, this International Conference of Reformed Churches is not meant to be, or I pray, going to be anyone or any church's funeral. We are all here to share the heartfelt desire that it will be a time to put our hearts and hands to the plow and to indeed create straight furrows for the Lord. And yet, in having had an opportunity to prepare for this conference, I continue to find myself irresistibly drawn to this, the second beatitude, to the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." For it seems to me that the tone of this conference needs to be set and maintained in the light of this second beatitude. Let's reflect on that for a couple of minutes. As you well know, the Sermon on the Mount introduces the first of several great blocks of teaching in Matthew's Gospel. Seated in this first series, sermon on a mountainside with his disciples as well as a great crowd, Jesus begins to address the people and his disciples saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Makarios. Blessed. These staccato sayings of Jesus speak with such economy of words and yet so great depth of meaning. Blessed, homokarios, indeed this God-like wholeness, joy and peace, that sense of being in the presence and surrounded by the prosperity, light and sunshine of God's grace, that is to be blessed. To be blessed, in the words of Donald Carson, is that sense of being approved by God and then the experience of that approval as we walk on God's, in God's name and on God's work. Oh, how blessed. But blessed, says Jesus, are those who mourn. Mourn? You hear the keening. The cry, the grief that hurts the heart, that chokes up the throat, that blinds your eyes with tears, grief, mourning. Grief and mourning, an expression of helplessness, hurt and despair. Understand well, this mourning is not about pulling a long face and continually wiping teary eyes. It's not about donning a black hat and a black coat and zwarte kousa, as far as that goes. Pardon me. If you want black socks. It's more than that. It is essentially an inward looking to the self and groaning and grieving and weeping as you come face to face with your own sinfulness, with your own guilt,
with your own unworthiness, with the destructive power of sin and its impact in your own life, as well as on the life of others. Oh God, I grieve. I mourn as I sense you opening up every corner of my conscience and heart and see myself, even in Christ, as I really am. It rather strikes me in the building up of this Beatitudes, and in the first Beatitude we've been speaking, or the Lord Jesus spoke there, about being poverty-stricken in spirit. There's an emptiness that is described here. It is only the beggar who indeed is blessed by God. But this second Beatitude takes you a step deeper. Not simply are we empty, we are in fact filled with that which is vile and sinful and destructive in the eyes of God. Our hearts are not merely without spiritual assets. They are filled, if you like, with our own moral corruption and sinfulness. When you face yourself as you really are, aren't you driven to mourn? To tremble and to weep. It rather strikes me that Paul, at his most mature in Romans chapter 7, cries out as he examines himself, may I say, as a sanctified believer, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Can you feel the grief in his heart? Or do you not sense that same grief every time, for example, you open up to Luke chapter 18 and are confronted with that story that Jesus tells of two men who went into the temple to pray? One, an accomplished theologian, if I may put it in modern terms, no doubt he would feel at home in most of our circles. A man who knew the scriptures and lived the scriptures and claimed the scriptures. And the other, a pariah. Even his family rejected a tax collector. He would not even dare to lift up his eyes to heaven as he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And which one, says Jesus, went home justified? The man that mourned, not the Pharisee. You see, blessed, says Jesus, are those who are able to face the reality of the grief-causing sin in their own hearts. For they, says Jesus, will be comforted. What a glorious word. They will be comforted. Comforted by, if you will, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The God who cried out in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak. And the God who in the ultimate comfort of that this world has ever seen so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that Son who is introduced to us again in Isaiah chapter 61 as follows. When he cries out there, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Who are those who will be blessed with the comfort of God? When will you receive the comfort of God? Only as you grieve and tremble and cry out for the grace and compassion and loving kindness of God as a sinner who deserves nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing in my hands I bring, only totally in a death-like grip to thy cross I cling.
My call to you this evening, as my brothers, as my esteemed colleagues and fellow delegates, is for you to come to this conference, to approach it, to hear, to speak, and to judge one another as those who themselves experience a sense of mourning and grief over your own sinfulness and shortcomings. You see, the splinters that we will spot in one another's eyes will be as clear as daylight to most of us, if not all of us. But those splinters surely will need to be discussed and dealt with in the light of the grievous, death-deserving plank that infests your own eye. In the language of the second beatitude, it is only as mourners that you can express experience and give to others the comfort that you yourself have claimed in Christ. Let me apply this briefly in two ways. I think, first of all, of our relationship to one another as members or prospective members of the International Conference of Reformed Churches. Let me begin by pointing out that ours is a wonderful heritage in that confessionally and experientially we strive to be true heirs of the Calvinistic Reformation. The Bible alone, Christ alone, salvation by faith alone, received by grace alone. We live and hope in the light of the sovereignty of a covenanting God who before the foundation of the world unconditionally chose us in Christ to be holy in his sight. We breathe and live firmly in the tradition of the Continental and British Reformed and Presbyterian confessions and catechisms of the 16th and 17th centuries. But that very heritage, linked with our particular historical and cultural traditions, forever entices us and attempts to seduce us. You see, most of us have been around long enough to know that our very heritage can so easily make us Pharisaic, proud, content, and as a result in our relationship to one another, contentious, self-righteous, and divisive. History, even very recent history in some of your churches, continue to demonstrate and prove this over and over again. How easy it is for us to fall into the traps that the devil sets. How to address this? Heed and hear this beatitude. Listen to each other and speak to each other as those who ourselves mourn as we see not only what lives in our own hearts, but when all is said and done, what actually lives in our churches. And speak to others in the light of your own grief. And it's amazing what this will do. Let us hear each other at this conference in the light of our own struggles, shortcomings, and sinfulness. Let us bear with each other as those who know a God who bears with us. Let us strive to reach out to one another in order to provide the same comfort, the comfort which lies at the very heart of our own experience of Christ. You see, the way of the Church of the Lord, including a conference of Reformed and Presbyterian churches like this, is that in order to come together, we will only be blessed if we approach each other in the light of the Second Beatitude. Isn't that a fact? Isn't that the reality? There's one other thing I want to say, the last thing. You see, blessed are those who mourn not only impacts in our relationship with ourselves and with one another, but I think it needs to also shape the way that we look into this world and at this world in which we are called to be salt and light. In this part of the world, the last 2 weeks have caused much grief. In Samoa, in Tonga, with a tsunami. In the Philippines, with the terrible storms. In Indonesia, off the coast of Sumatra. In the southern part of India, with horrific floods. This world suffers, not only in terms of natural disasters, but this world suffers because of the corruption of human nature. This world suffers because it is in the grip of corruption, of what the scriptures call depravity, immorality, spiritual arrogance, and 1,000 other wicked powers. Wherever we look, there is grief and helplessness and darkness. How comforting it is then, from the relative safety of our own homes and the orthodoxy of our, behind the orthodoxy of our denominational walls, to see the rulers, to see the world, and to say, well, in other words, to fail to approach it as true mourners. You see, has it ever struck you that we will never feel what another feels unless we ourselves know the grief and pain and horror of what happens? Has it ever struck you that many of the tears we as Christians so easily shed for one another often have the appearance to the world of being those of a crocodile? Has it ever struck you how often the world looks at Christianity, particularly Orthodox Christianity, and sees us as hard and uncaring? What's happening, brethren? Is it not true that unless we live the reality of this second beatitude, our concern and compassion for this world will be shallow and meaningless? Unless we mourn over the situation of this world, spiritually and in every other way, we will just let the world go its own way. Is it not true that the heart of our Lord's ministry is a glorious word, compassion? And that behind the word compassion, we see the weeping Jesus, the mourning Jesus. And is it not true that the very essence of our ministry, our Christ-likeness, begins right here
Brethren, sisters, I pray for a blessed conference. And my prayer with you, and I trust for you, will be that we may also approach the business that stands before us in the light of this beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen.
The song that we are now going to stand and sing has nothing to do with the Welch brethren here tonight. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Oh, I'm so sorry. We should tell you. It's number 407 in the Blue Psalter Hymnal. Number 407.
That guidance we do need as we meet together to serve the Lord. And for that reason, I am thinking of that wonderful 25th Psalm, which speaks much about the need of that guidance. Show me your truth, guide me in the path of righteousness. That psalm, I'm thinking of the 25th, begins with, "To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul." We want to do that now as we pray for this conference and ask the Lord to grant us His blessing, the kind of hearts and minds and words that will honor Him and they'll be edifying to one another. For that time of prayer, we shall ask three brothers to take turns in leading us. First, for the preparation of this conference and the safe arrival of its delegates, for all that has been done already. Then, for a God-honoring conference. And thirdly, for the Church Universal, the churches we represent, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this world, and in particular, the suffering church. I've invited for the first part Brother Maynard Koerner to lead us in prayer, then to other brothers. We have a short break in between each time of prayer. Brother Koerner, would you lead us in prayer from the lectern there?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you as the sovereign Creator God. We acknowledge that we rely upon you and you alone for all things. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you as the God of grace who sent his Son for our salvation and to be the head of the church. As we gather representing your church across the globe, we call upon you to bless our fellowship and our deliberations. We thank you for the church. We thank you for its witness, for its unity. We thank you that it is not limited by geography, but one in Christ. We praise your name in all of its glory. We especially express our gratitude for bringing us together here in Christ's church. There is obviously much planning, many hours of work, many hands who have given of themselves for this planning. Preparation that goes into this to make it possible. And we lift up our voices of thanksgiving to you for all of this work, for many who have given of this time and of these efforts. There also are many arrangements which need to be made for the coming together of delegates. Many have traveled great distances. We marvel, O God, at this world in which you have put us, that we can come together in this way. And for this too, we are most grateful. We are particularly grateful that we have arrived safely. We know that it is only by your grace and by your providential hand that you have brought us here. It is only by your abundant grace that we can meet together. Indeed, O God, we ask that you would hear our praise and receive our thanks. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray with the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Reverend Maynard Koerner comes from the American continent. We have now also a brother, Reverend David Miller, from Europe, praying for us in seeking the Lord's guidance for this special meeting of the ICRC. Brother Miller.
Let us pray together.
Lord our God, God over this whole earth, we give thanks that you have reminded us again of our weakness, that we are not only weak in our created nature before you, the Creator, but in the weakness of our sinful flesh. We acknowledge your great grace towards us, that we should be held by you, that we should be taught by you, and that we should know, as we call it, the doctrines of grace. We give thanks that we are here as those who have, in a measure, a common purpose. We give thanks that you show the spread of your church as we're gathered here. But it's in the light of these things, O Lord, and in the light of your word this evening, that we come seeking your presence, your spirit, in all that we undertake together. For we must confess, O Lord, that if we are left to ourselves, we would indeed come out in pride. Whether we'd be looking at one another or at those outside these walls. We do ask, Lord God, that you would do a great work in each of our hearts, that truly it will be found not just reformed doctrine, but an understanding of your truth, the Scriptures, that this will indeed be our guide, our lead, that we would not just speak together, that we rejoice that you look upon those who do speak of you together, that we would hear, we would listen, we would take heed to your leading of us, the instruction of your Spirit. We ask, Lord God, that you would prevail upon us, that we would avoid every trace of pride, that we would be very mindful of many that we do look upon from time to time, whom we regard as incomplete concerning the truth, that we would have a different spirit towards them, mindful of that spirit that you have shown to us, of this compassion and of your great long suffering and patience. We do pray, Lord God, that whether it be in the business or in the papers that are presented and heard, that every aspect will lead to a humbling of ourselves, and that this will bring forth from us also an urgency about the work of the kingdom of Christ. We pray, Lord God, that we would set ourselves in this week for the glory of God, and this glory of God in the face of Christ to be made known unto men. We pray, O God, that it will indeed be a good conference, not as we might class it without your Spirit, but pleasing in your sight, that it will indeed lead to the building of one another, that we will seek to be straight and true, holding to the things that endure, that our eyes will be on your eternal kingdom and not the spirit of this age, which does indeed so easily capture us. We pray that it will be not only for our benefit here, but also for our churches, the denominations that we represent, through to the congregations, the brotherhood across the globe. We ask, Lord God, that it will be leading us in the truth that includes love, that great knowledge that you would provide if we humble ourselves before you, but that knowledge that it would not be without love, that out of nothing you will make something great, your own name amongst men. And as we would seek such great things, we do pray too for all that goes into it in these coming days, not only for what has been done, but for the organizers as they look on and as they continue to maintain the work, that they will know encouragement, and that this also will be looked on by them with a right view by the end, not for their own applause, but that they have served your name and your kingdom. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would grant wisdom, that as we would come together in the light of our condition without you, that we will rejoice in your grace, that we will rejoice in good doctrine, but as you bless us with your grace, that we might ourselves be renewed in a spirit of grace to all. Do love us freely, that we also may love. This we ask, Lord God, in all things, in the name of Christ alone, and for the sake of your glory. Amen.
We have also asked the brother from the African continent to lead us in prayer. I would call on the Reverend Ben Faree to lead us in the last part of our prayer.
Let's pray. Our Lord, the Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith that we have, that you are the King of Kings and also the King of your own church. Thank you, Lord, that we live under your reign and that you promised to make your kingdom come. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you for that. In so many tongues, so many places, the true church is growing and professing. Thank you that we are the witnesses to that, the witness to the work done by you, the Holy Spirit, with the Bible, with the message in the hearts of men. We also realize, O Lord, that there are a lot of pain involved. People do not always allow this, do not want to see that, do not want to see it in their own families, in their own cultures. People are persecuted. We do not always have the answers to all the pain that people suffer. But for us it's good, Lord, to know that you know. The fact that you are in control, the fact that you are a master of all, means so much to us. And we can still keep on proclaiming that. Lord, we pray that the church will still grow in a world that doesn't really want to hear it, under governments that do not really honor your name. May the church still grow in those areas. And may the suffering that we suffer strengthen our will and determination to show your glory. Lord, we pray for our blessings during this conference, and that we will keep our eyes on the vision that you put before us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And now we all have the opportunity to pray. Summing up our prayer in the words of that prayer which the Lord Jesus himself has taught us. And you may pray that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in your own language, from the heart, reaching out to the Lord God and for his mercy. Let us pray as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not only did we want to pray together, we also want to sing together, Lord, my petition heed, or our petition heed. The words of Psalm 86, you'll find them in your hymn books, under 164. 164, we shall sing verses 1, 2, and 5. And please remain standing afterwards for the benediction. Now let us lift up our hearts to the Lord to receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and grant you peace. Amen. Let's sing his praise in our final song, 14 verse 1. Psalm 9, 14 verse 1.
Can I just have your attention, everyone, for a minute, please? The bus is leaving at 9:30, so again, we'll try that 10 minutes beforehand. We'll just guide you out slowly. For those who